Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You control, and the number to call in with whatever's on your mind is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And tonight we have a lot of things to discuss with you. I'm going to start off with this article from Reason.com. Mm-hmm. Reason.com is from the first of this month. Federal appeals court rules Detroit's asset forfeiture violates due process rights of drivers. And that's a really good thing, because if you don't know what civil asset forfeiture is, it's just stealing, which the government has made legal for its goons. So it's okay for them, but not anyone else. I mean, it's just not okay, but it's not illegal for them to do it.
It's not stealing when they do it.
It is, but...
No, it absolutely is. But they have a different name for it. So they have this in a lot of cases with government programs and government taxes. Like, you know, tax is... They're basically euphemisms, right? So the word tax has a definition, a sort of a legal definition, but the reality is it's just extortion. It's just where they tell you, you pay us this amount that we decide, or else we're going to hurt you, maybe steal your kids from you, maybe steal your home from you. That is the definition of extortion. When the mafia does it, it's extortion. But when the government does it, it's taxes.
Yep. So they do all kinds of things like that where they can do it, but you can't do it. And even if they do their civil asset forfeiture theft in a way that ends up being ruled to have not been correct, it wasn't right, they're just not going to get in trouble anyway because they have...
Qualified immunity, I think.
Yeah, qualified immunity.
Yeah, and then, of course, you have to fight to get your stuff back. So, and civil asset forfeiture is different from criminal asset forfeiture, where, you know, if somebody is convicted of a so-called crime, which, of course, many of these are victimless, like the Crypto 6 case... There's forfeiture in those cases as well. But civil asset forfeiture, we have seen some reform on. There have been some states that have done this. I believe New Hampshire is one of them. Where, and I can't say off the top of my head exactly how far these reforms have gone or, you know, what the most relevant points are. But I know there has been some in recent years.
Criminal or civil asset forfeiture?
Civil asset.
Yeah, well, it seems to be even worse than criminal asset forfeiture in a way, because at least if you get things taken from you after you have lost a court case, like, at least they are making it look like they followed due process laws. But with civil asset forfeiture, maybe a lot of people don't know this, but it usually just involves you got pulled over, you're suspected of something, they take all your money.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you get proven to have not done it, sometimes you can't get your money back. Well, at least you have to really fight to get it back.
Yeah, and that usually means hiring lawyers, and of course, they don't work cheap. You know, a good lawyer is going to cost you $350 an hour.
Yeah, and if you got $1,000 taken from you, you're not going to want to spend $8,000 to fight it.
Nope. I mean, there's the principle of the matter, but then there's the reality, which is, you know, money means something, and you're not going to spend more than the cost of the thing. So, like our friend, I mean, this isn't civil asset forfeiture, but our friend on the show, Joa, who was our co-host on Thursdays for a while, he got a restraining order against him, and the cops took his gun. And then a year later, once the restraining order was lifted, and it was wrongfully put on him in the first place.
Yeah, we went to the trial. I wanted to say it was completely ridiculous.
Total BS.
We were shocked that the judge ruled the way he did.
But the BS didn't stop once it was over, you know, the year was over. The police then said, yeah, sure, you can come get your gun that we confiscated from you. There's an $800 storage fee that we're charging you for this. And it's just like, the gun isn't worth $800. Why am I going to pay you, police department, an $800 storage fee?
And it's just ridiculous to think, well, we confiscated something from you. You didn't want stored with us, but you're going to have to pay us for it at all.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, shouldn't that be like covered under taxes or something?
You would think. I mean, the police are definitely like getting plenty of money from people through taxes. There's no doubt. The good news is there is at least one state rep that I'm aware of who this has been brought to his attention. He's a Free Talk Live listener. I don't know if I should name names, but he is considering putting in some legislation in regards to these ridiculous storage fees.
Nice. So
we may
really
see
good.
some change on that front as well.
Is it just a New Hampshire thing?
Well, it may be happening elsewhere, but I suspect that the chance it'll be repealed anywhere else is fairly low.
Well, let's get right into this Reason.com article. It says, a panel of federal appellate judges unanimously ruled Thursday that Detroit's practice of seizing people's cars for months at a time before giving them a chance to contest the seizure violates vehicle's 14th Amendment right to due process.
Vehicle's 14th Amendment right to due process?
Sorry, the vehicle owner's 14th Amendment right to due process. I mean, they do weird things where they treat vehicles like cars. Like, it'll be, if you get something taken in civil asset forfeiture, like, say you got a Mercedes-Benz taken. Well, they create a case, and it will be white 2004 Mercedes-Benz versus the United States. Or versus
something
Wyoming,
like that,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. They treat it like it's a person whenever they seize it. I don't know why. Anyways, that's not what it said, though. It says...
That's the legal land for you. It's crazy.
Yep. It doesn't say that it violates the vehicle's rights. It says it violates the vehicle owner's 14th Amendment right to due process. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, agreeing with a lower U.S. District Court, found that Michigan's Wayne County, which includes Detroit, quote, violated the Constitution when it seized plaintiffs' personal vehicles, which were vital to their transportation and livelihoods, with no timely process to contest the seizure, unquote. The Sixth Circuit ruled that Wayne County must provide car owners a post-seizure court hearing within 2 weeks. Maria Miller, a spokesperson for the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, said the office is currently determining its next steps in light of the decision. I guess they're upset about it.
I hope we'll get into, like, why these people's cars are being seized in the first place.
Says the ruling for a victory for the rights of car owners, a sharp rebuke of a greedy local government, and a preview of an important issue that will soon be before the Supreme Court.
Okay.
As Reason's Billy Binion reported in July, the Supreme Court has taken up a case to decide if property owners are entitled to a probable cause hearing after a seizure and how soon if so. The plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit filed in 2020 by the Institute for Justice, which are really cool people.
Yep, they do good work.
A libertarian-leaning public interest law firm included Robert Reeves. In July of 2019, police seized Reeves' 1991 Chevrolet Camaro, along with more than $2,000 in cash, after stopping him on suspicion of stealing a skid steer from Home Depot. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's the Wikipedia is linked here because it's not very common, I guess. It looks like a little tiny... I didn't know. I just clicked on it. But it looks like a little tiny bulldozer.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a skid steer. And
so they think he stole a skid steer, so they took his car from him? And $2,000 in cash?
Yep, just on suspicion of it, exactly. Mm-hmm. For more than 6 months, Reeves was not arrested or charged with a crime, and the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office didn't file a notice of intent to forfeit his car, leaving him unable to officially challenge the seizure.
Wow.
That's some corrupt BS.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, well, because of today's ruling, the next person the county targets will have a real opportunity to go to court and challenge the seizure of their car, unquote. Reeves said in an Institute for Justice press release. And they won't have to wait for months or years to get it. Under civil asset forfeiture laws, police can seize property suspected of being connected to criminal activity even if the owner is not charged with a crime. Mm. Law enforcement says civil asset forfeiture is a vital tool for disrupting drug trafficking and other organized crime by targeting illicit revenue.
Yeah, and then apparently not having to prove anything about that either. Because, like they said, this guy just sat for, what was it, 6 months?
Yeah.
Where he could do absolutely nothing about this, and they took the dude's car from him.
Yep.
I mean, he had a 1991 Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can't be worth that much money. It doesn't.
And they
sound...
took his $2,000 for down payment, yeah, if he needed a new car anyway.
Right. So, I mean, they took money from what appears to be probably a fairly poor individual here and made him even more impoverished by doing this. And they're not sorry. The fact that they don't have to end up paying him
pay for the days he missed work or anything like that.
No, they won't. No, I mean, the fact that they have had this ruling against them is nice, but it may hurry up the system the next time they do these things. But of course, it doesn't stop them from being able to do this. They're going to continue to be able to take things from people. It's just that now, supposedly, there'll be a court date sooner rather than later. But again, you know, if you take $2,000 from a guy that's got a 1991 Camaro, how likely is it he's going to be able to go and pay a lawyer $300 an hour to take his case? I mean, this doesn't help them that much, yeah, is all I'm trying to say, but I am glad to hear it.
I'm glad that the Institute for Justice got involved because most likely this guy probably couldn't have challenged it himself.
Well, they work for free.
Right.
They take donations.
Yep. Says, under civil asset forfeiture laws, police can seize property suspected of being connected to criminal activity, even if the owner is not charged with a crime,
mm-hmm,
which those laws just need to get completely repealed. Law enforcement says civil asset forfeiture is a vital tool for disrupting drug... Oh, I already read that. It's a vital tool they have, and that's totally what they use it for, not for just grabbing a bunch of money.
Well, they do that. Yeah, I mean, what you're pointing out is they do that all the time.
Yep.
And when they grab the money, good luck getting it back, because then you got to pay more money to fight to get your money back.
And I don't know if anybody, I guess we haven't pointed this out, but some people might not know that according to federal law, these local police offices, they don't just use the money to pay back, you know, somebody who was a victim of this person's crime when approved. Mm-hmm. No. Like, a bunch of it goes to the federal government, and 80% goes to the local police department that took it. So, obviously,
right,
they have a huge incentive to just go around taking people's cash.
Big time. And that's incentivized by the federal government, in that case.
Yep. It says, however, civil liberties groups like the Institute for Justice say police often target innocent owners or petty offenders, not cartel lords, and force them to bear the cost of challenging the seizure in court.
Well, yeah, I mean, the cartel lords are actually scary people, right? They have people who are soldiers in the cartel, and they are going to possibly make your life very difficult if you're a cop who's targeting a cartel. You know, they may come at you with some kind of violence. They may kidnap your family members or, you know, kill your dog or something horrifying, right? Your typical street criminal isn't going to have those kind of resources. I mean, the cartels...
Or a totally innocent person.
Are basically... Yeah, right. The cartels are basically untouchable by these people.
Wayne County had a particularly aggressive vehicle forfeiture program targeting illicit marijuana, prostitution, drag racing, and other public disorder and nuisance offenses. It typically offered to settle cases and return cars for $900 plus towing and storage fees.
Mm. Which could be quite a bit of money. I mean, I don't know what the typical per-day storage fee is, but it adds up, especially if you've been there, if your car's been held for a month or 2 months or 6 months or whatever while you're waiting for this. I mean, essentially, whatever the amount is, unless your car is very, very expensive, it's probably not worth getting your car back.
Says the alternative was waiting months for the Wayne County Prosecution Office to file a motion for forfeiture in court without one's car.
Meaning you don't have your car while you're waiting.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird way to say it. The Institute for Justice argued that forcing owners through a month-long onerous process...
Months, not months.
Sorry. I didn't know you could put month-long into one word. I thought... I was going to say, I've never heard that word. I thought it said month-long.
Okay.
But it's a month-long onerous process to challenge a seizure was an obvious shakedown and violated their 4th, 8th, and 14th Amendment's rights. Do you know what 8th is?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, I know 4th is unreasonable search and seizure, but I don't know 8th, honestly, off the top of my head. For example, according to the lawsuit, police seized twice seized the car of Melissa Ingram, another plaintiff, while her boyfriend was borrowing it. Once for allegedly picking up a prostitute, and another time for leaving a house connected to drug activity. Wow. Just leaving a house connected to drug activity.
That's crazy.
Not being in possession of drugs, not running around yelling drunk or something like that, but just...
Yeah, I mean, it really makes you wonder if even the most ardent, tough-on-crime person, how they can defend this kind of thing. Like, if you're out there and you think... Well, we got to do whatever it takes to stop these drug users. Does that include just taking their stuff without any kind of criminal conviction? Like you were saying before, Bonnie, it's one thing, and we don't agree with this because we're against the war on drugs here, but it would be one thing if you actually caught someone with the drugs, using the car to transport the drugs, and said, all right, now we get to take your car. I'm not saying I agree with that, but at least in the insane world of the war on drugs, that kind of has some sort of logic attached to it. But just to simply say that, well, we saw you at a house where we know drug people hang out, so now we get to take your car from you. I mean, who out there thinks that that is a good thing? Who out there thinks that that is a fair or sort of even within the realm of lawful thing to do to somebody? I just can't even imagine beyond like some ardent cop that's actually getting paid, like you said, 80% based on the things that they take. I can't imagine like average people saying, yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. Let's just take people's stuff with no conviction, not even a criminal charge.
I think the problem is way closer to the fact that people just don't pay attention to the idea that people just think it's okay. Like, people just don't know this is going on because it hasn't happened to them.
Yep. And they will be shocked to find out that this sort of stuff goes on when it finally happens to them.
And that's why civil asset forfeiture is one of my favorite types of topics to cover on the show. I have another article even involving Institute for Justice and civil asset forfeiture, probably save it for another episode.
It's a good topic because it's also something that can get some traction bipartisan, meaning that this isn't really a right or a left issue. This is an issue with police being out of control, being able to just take stuff and have absolutely near to zero accountability for it. This particular lawsuit you're talking about is bringing a little bit more accountability to the Wayne County. Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to the Supreme Court, so
yeah,
it's going to presumably...
Affecting Sixth Circuit, yeah.
Yeah, if the Supreme Court rules in favor as the Sixth Circuit did, then, because the Sixth Circuit ruled positively, right?
Yep.
In this case, yeah, so if the Supreme Court, I guess, upholds their ruling, then that'll be a good thing, although, again, it won't stop civil asset forfeiture.
So Stephanie Wilson, the third plaintiff in the Institute for Justice suit, alleged that Detroit police seized two of her cars over a six-month period because she gave rides to her daughter's father, whom police suspected of drug activity, although no drugs or guns were found in either instance.
Jeez.
That's crazy. So she's like, well, at least I have my second car, and then they took it, too. I can't imagine that. In the first case, she lost her car after missing a filing deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. She only got her second car back after waiting 2 years for a court hearing.
Well, I mean, you know how it is with all these court hearings and deadlines. You've got a court hearing coming up tomorrow
that you didn't even
know about. It was on my calendar, though, so we're not going to miss it. But you didn't know. I mean, and... You don't even have, like, you know, three kids or whatever running around like some of these people probably do. And just imagine trying to keep track of all that stuff.
And maybe she wanted to represent herself because she, like, didn't like her public defender or something. I mean, who knows why she was doing that, because you'd think that she'd have a public defender.
I don't think you get public defenders on civil cases.
Oh. Hm. Well,
That's something that you only get for a criminal matter.
It's kind of messed up that she
doesn't
get a lawyer.
She's just up S Creek without a paddle in this case. She has no cars. How's she going to get there?
It's hard to even know what you're supposed to file, where you're supposed to go to file it, or when you're supposed to file it. Because it's not like when you go to any sort of court, they just start giving you instructions. Like, don't
read
the file.
They specifically tell you, we can't give you legal advice.
Yeah.
If you ask them a question about what to do or when to do it, the general answer is, we can't tell you that. You have to hire an attorney. You got to hire one of our people.
And it's really messed up because she probably didn't have that money. I mean, she's driving around her baby daddy who's suspected of drug activity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions about her. So I'm glad that RJ took the case. It says, after reviewing the plaintiff's cases, the panel of Sixth Circuit judges could only agree that a perverse profit incentive, not crime fighting, was driving Wayne County's asset forfeiture program. So, although Wayne County ostensibly seized the vehicles because of reasons related to health, safety, and or drugs, the record suggests otherwise, that the county seized the vehicles in order to obtain proceeds from fees.
This is what the court...
Unquote.
This is from a quote from the court ruling.
The court wrote.
Okay.
Quote, if Wilson's vehicle had a dangerous connection with drugs, it is unclear why the county promptly released the vehicle after a payment of $1,355. And if Ingram's vehicle was a public nuisance, the county's willingness to release the vehicle for $1,800 suggests it is more interested in the money than in redeeming a public nuisance, unquote.
Wow. That's quite a rebuke from the court.
Right, and it's just like, why doesn't the court realize, or why don't, if this happens, maybe other courts, it'll be precedent and other courts can realize that this whole practice of civil asset forfeiture is just perversely incentivized.
Yeah, there's a weird thing about court appeals, as I understand it, when you appeal something, you know, you have to appeal on specific questions of law, as I understand it. And again, if you're an attorney, feel free to call in to clarify this, 603-283-6160. But you have to have a specific error of law that a judge made prior to you or some sort of question on the law that you're appealing. And you generally... You know, if it's a specific case about, like, what we're talking about here, where people are having their cars stolen, you're appealing on certain points. You're not generally appealing on the whole thing. Like, you're not appealing on the entirety of the concept of civil asset forfeiture. So, like, you're generally not asking that question. And even if you did sort of bring that up in the appeal, the judges aren't obligated to answer every question on your appeal. They can just simply answer one of them, use that as the reason to overturn the previous court's ruling, and be done with it. So it's very hard to get a judge to do something like what you're talking about, which is to overturn an entire, like, established legal procedure. It's just not as likely to happen through the courts as it would be to actually get legislatures to overturn civil asset forfeiture. That's where it started. That's likely the way it's going to have to end.
Well, that's really messed up. If a judge can say something like that about this county's practice of it, and it goes on in, like,
it goes on
all
everywhere
over the United States, then I wish that they could do something about it. What do you think? Have you ever had $1,600 stolen from you to get your car back from thugs? Or were those thugs called cops? 603-283-6160. That's the number to call in. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Federal prosecutors intend to indict Hunter Biden by September 29th on gun charges. That's according to a recent court filing. Previously, Biden had a plea agreement aimed at avoiding jail time for purchasing a gun as a drug user. However, the agreement unraveled in court in July. The status of tax evasion charges included in that plea deal remains unclear. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is dismissing retirement rumors, committing Wednesday to complete his term despite recent health concerns.
We going to finish my term as leader, and I'm going to finish my Senate term.
He froze recently at two press conferences, but received clearance from the Capitol physician, who attributed them to occasional post-concussion lightheadedness stemming from a March injury. Tropical Storm Lee has turned into a hurricane. According to the National Hurricane Center, that storm is now about 1,200 miles east of the northern Leeward Islands. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, 603-283-6160. That's the phone number to call to get on the air with us and bring up whatever is on your mind, 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And so far, we've just been talking about this Reason article, this article from Reason.com, talking about civil asset forfeiture and what a court did to, you know, help out some people who are getting their cars stolen from them in the process of civil asset forfeiture. It's not as strong as it could be. It doesn't just, you know, get rid of civil asset forfeiture or anything like that, but it gives people who are victims of this practice the ability to have some kind of way out, like request their court date sooner, because in Wayne County, Michigan, the police were taking people's cars for like up to 6 months and not offering them even a court date, so they couldn't even appeal it or anything. They couldn't, you know, say, this isn't right, I need my car back at all.
Yeah, which is a really tough thing to have to deal with. I mean, it's difficult for anybody in any economic circumstance to have to go through the embarrassment of having the police pull you over and then literally stealing your car out from under you, which is how a lot of this stuff happens. They just pull somebody over and then they don't arrest them. They take their car and leave them on the side of the road. I always remembered of the story I heard in Florida in Manatee County, where the sheriff there, who was sort of notoriously a corrupt sheriff, was having his drug squad go around and pull people over and people they didn't like, people they wanted to target, people that had a nice car, whatever they, you know, reason was that they wanted to go after. Usually it's going to be poorer people because they know that they can't afford attorneys.
And you could tell someone's really poor if they're driving around with a really beater. Crappy car.
Yeah. So they would pull those people over and they would tell them, look, we're going to take this from you, especially if they like actually did find some marijuana or something like that. Like, we're going to take your car from you. We'll let you off of the charges this time. Now, all you have to do is just sign this piece of paper here that allows us to take the car from you. And so it was like an under duress threat where they, you know, essentially, quote unquote, consented to having their car taken from them. And in this case, this wouldn't have been the same thing as civil asset forfeiture, but it's sort of similar. It's just using the power of the police and their intimidation to be able to just simply take things from people. And that was what was going on there, allegedly. These are the stories that I heard was happening.
This is how these people who sign up to become cops are making their money. They're going around in... scaring people mm-hmm. with their authority and taking things from them. They're not going around making you safer, any safer than you would be if they got out of the way and let you hire your own security.
Right. I mean, what is the difference? One of the examples in this case, there were three different plaintiffs in this case against Wayne County, which is, again, the Detroit area, I believe, of Michigan.
Yeah, Detroit's included.
Yeah, so these three people, one of them was allegedly... But they never arrested her for this. They never proved this claim. She was allegedly giving rides to her ex-husband or boyfriend or something
like
that.
Just her baby's daddy.
Who was allegedly a drug dealer. So the suggestion there...
He was suspected of being a drug dealer. It's not even like, oh, he was convicted before.
Well, let's just say that he was a drug dealer. The idea that you should be facing some sort of criminal penalty... for simply taking him from point A to point B, they didn't prove that she knew he was selling drugs. They have no evidence of this. If they did, they would have brought a criminal case against her, but they didn't have that, so they just took her car. But does that mean that you get to take, let's say this guy, you know, she's got her car taken from her at this point, so that's out of commission. He's still got to go wherever he's got to go. So he might get on, like, the county bus. Well, obviously they're not going to take the county bus, right? What if he calls an Uber? What if he calls a cab company and they take him from point A to point B? And what if at point B he sells drugs to somebody and then calls Uber and takes the cab back, you know, to wherever it is he was
from?
Yeah,
it's obviously not important that the driver know that he's a drug dealer.
Well, yeah, and in fact the drivers, I'm sure, would prefer to not know that.
I'm saying it's not important to the cops.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can they take the Ubers, too? I mean, under this principle that you can just take stuff from anybody that helps somebody who's doing a nefarious deed or whatever, and again, I think drug dealing should be legal, but it's not. Is it just the wife, you know, or just the ex-wife who can be targeted? It sounds to me like they can go after absolutely anybody that they want to, regardless of whether they knew or not what was going on, because they didn't bring any criminal charges. So all you got to do is follow around a drug dealer all day, and if he takes any Ubers, just go ahead and take their cars from them. It's ridiculous. But that's what is actually going on, or could be going on.
And most people would not believe that that's making you any safer, or making them any safer in their county. And the courts agreed with that. They really put out quite a banger when they said that it's obvious that they said if... Ingram, I think that was the lady with the boyfriend. Well, she was the baby mama of that guy. If Ingram's vehicle was a public nuisance, the county's willingness to release the vehicle for $1,800 suggests it was more interested in the money than in redeeming a public nuisance.
Right.
Remedying.
I mean, if he's a successful drug dealer, then he should have that money, right? Like, I mean, I guess there's the drug dealers that just snort all their profits. There's this type of, there's like two kinds of drug dealers, right? Like, there's the kind that doesn't snort their profits, and then there's the kind that does. So I guess if he was the kind that's using all of his profits to put in his veins or whatever, then he probably doesn't have $1,800. But if he was a drug dealer who was, like, doing a good job, then he should have $2,000 sitting around that he could easily bail the car out with. That is a great point that the court made, is that this is clearly, transparently all about money and has absolutely nothing to do with catching criminals or whatever.
It goes on and it says, and as Reason has previously reported, this was happening at scale. What does that mean?
That means it was going on much larger than the three people that they're talking about here. This is just, these are the cases that the Institute for Justice chose among God knows how many potential cases that they could take to court. So this is happening not just at scale in Wayne County, but I think what they mean is it's happening much further out than that.
Well, actually, I think it means that in Wayne County even, it says Wayne County seized more than 2,600 vehicles between 2017 and 2019.
So in 2 years...
That's more than a car a day.
That's, yeah, way more than a car a day.
That's crazy.
That's like 3 or 4 cars a day.
Oh my gosh. So 2,600 vehicles between 2017 and 2019, and raked in more than $1.2 million in asset forfeiture revenues, which means like what they actually get, not just everything they took, right? Revenue?
Yeah, I presume that means that's probably an aggregate of, you know, the amount of money that they got from people who wanted their cars back, who paid the ransom. And then the people who couldn't afford to pay the ransom, they sold the cars. So they probably auctioned off those cars and whatever that revenue was.
And that's according to records obtained by the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a free market Michigan think tank. Never heard of them.
Sounds kind of familiar, but...
Of those seizures, 473 were not accompanied by a criminal conviction.
Oh.
And in 438 of those cases, no one was even charged with a crime.
Wow.
In 10 cases, the cars were seized under suspicion of a drug violation, even though the records say police didn't find any drugs. The Institute for Justice was not alone in challenging the program. In 2018, Stephen Nichols filed a class action lawsuit after waiting more than 3 years for a court hearing to challenge the seizure of his car. That same year, Crystal Sisson...
3 years?
Yes. Even just waiting for a hearing.
Yep.
And that was in 2018, so it's not like it was, oh, it was 2020 and everything got messed up and we had to wait long times for court hearings.
Just the courts.
That same year, 2018, Crystal Sisson filed a civil rights lawsuit after Wayne County Sheriff's deputy seized her 2015 Kia Soul because she allegedly possessed $10 worth of marijuana.
Wow. That's so insane.
I hate Kia Souls.
I can't think of what it looks like, but...
It's, like, really square.
Oh, one of the boxy ones. Okay, yeah.
They're usually, like, a kiwi green.
That's insane, though. I mean, I don't remember hearing about that happening up here. Like, you would think we would have heard something about that here in New Hampshire if cops were just snatching cars from people on a simple marijuana arrest, and I've never heard about that. Maybe it does happen.
Michigan have... Legal weed, or am I
they
just
They do now. I don't know if they did in whatever year it was that they're referring to. It's outrageous.
It says, in a scathing concurring opinion, U.S. Circuit Judge Amul Thapar wrote that Wayne County's scheme is, quote, simply a money-making venture, one most often used to extort money from those who can least afford it.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that's who this is being targeted against.
Yeah, like Kiesels.
If you've got a... $30,000, $50,000, $60,000 car. I mean, $30,000 is getting more pretty typical. But if you got a $60,000 car, you are more likely to have an attorney. And you can call that attorney, and they're going to help you with this stuff. Whereas if you go after people with beat-up cars, you go after people with cars that are over, you know, 15 or 20 years old, you're much more likely to encounter people who have absolutely near-to-zero resources. They just want this thing to be over. They want to be able to go back to work because they're trying to get the bills paid. And, of course, now it's harder than ever with inflation being what it is.
Says, after summarizing the experiences of Reeves, Ingram, and Wilson, Thapar asked, does this sound like a legitimate way of cleaning up Wayne County, or does it sound like a money-making scheme that preys on those least able to fight it? To ask the question is to answer it.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing is that what this judge is hitting on here, and he's absolutely right about this, is that's what the entirety of the criminal justice, quote-unquote, system is, for the most part. I mean, every now and then they go after a real criminal who's, like, you know, murdering or raping or something like that. But if you go and you sit in a Wayne County courtroom on an arraignment date or any county, wherever you happen to live. If you've never done it, go ahead. Try this out and tell me that I'm wrong.
That's so true.
You go in and sit. Let me make the statement here. You go in to any arraignment. It's usually in the morning. I don't know what they do in your area, but usually it's, you know, bright and early. Yeah, 8, 9 a.m., something like that. Find out when your local arraignment is. Go in there, and you sit there for however long it takes to go through that whole room of people. It's going to be a whole room full of people. It's that way here in Keene, New Hampshire.
Having one of the worst days of their life, and looking really upset.
Yeah, and this is a town of 20,000 people, okay? We're in a county of about 70,000. So you go into a place like Wayne County, it's going to be packed. I mean, this is a big city, right? They probably have 10 different arraignments going on at once. Just pick one. And you go in there and you watch and you see if you find any murderers or any rapists who are going to be arraigned. First of all, if you're at a district court or something like that, probably those cases are going to get escalated to like a superior court, some higher level court for felony prosecutions. What you're going to be seeing is things like open container, possession of drugs, somebody is driving a car, you know, too fast or whatever. We're talking about it's going to be victimless crime after victimless crime. That is what this entire quote-unquote justice system is based off of. And what you're going to see happen at those arraignments is 99% of the people in there are going to take a plea deal. They are going to get on to a payment plan. The judge is going to assess them a multi-hundred or multi-thousand dollar fine. And, of course, they are not going to be able to pay it right then, most of them. They're going to get on a payment plan where they're going to pay extra. Here in New Hampshire, it's, I think, 20%. On top of the already ridiculous fine that they get, they have to pay 20% on top to get it spread out over a six-month period or whatever. And they're just going to ring the cash register after ringing the cash register after ringing the cash register and try to keep track of the thousands, tens of thousands of dollars that that one courtroom rakes in a three-hour window between 9 and, you know, noon in the morning. That's what the so-called justice system is. And you count how many cases there are where there's an actual victim. Every now and then you'll see one. It might be like somebody stole something from Walmart or, you know, petty theft or something like that. But for the most part, I guarantee you, you're going to see victimless crimes.
Yep. I just wish more people would do it. I hadn't even thought of, like, advocating for people to go do that because I never went and just sat in on a arraignment day before I moved to Keene, but I've had so many friends that were getting, you know, run through the system that I would go to their arraignments and now obviously my own. And you have to sit through a lot. And if people did that, they would start to put this picture together and notice who is actually the, you know, bully in this situation and, you know, start being able to make their own decisions about what's going on. Because really, whenever people talk about, like, the court system with me, it always seems like they're completely coming from a place of being completely clueless. They're just talking about what they assume goes on.
Oh, yeah. They got taught something in government high school about the courts being a check on the other system or the, you know, the other branches, and the police are out there doing God's work, and we love the thin blue line, and they're going after bad guys. I mean, people have this total delusion about the so-called justice system, and the delusion is based on the idea that they're actually going after real criminals, and they're not.
Yep.
That's not to say that they don't on occasion. Every now and then they actually do, and good for them. You know, I will, if they're actually investigating a real crime, I have no problem assisting.
That just sounds too hard for them.
Oh, well, every now and then they do. You know, I will assist the police in that. So that's what happened in the Crypto 6 case, where when it was brought to my attention that there was something going on with potential scams, I helped those police officers who brought that to my attention, because I don't want to see anybody, you know, get scammed or get taken advantage of.
I feel like cops don't usually do that unless it's, you know, beneficial to them, like help them in their, some kind of case, because that's hard. It's easy to just go down the side of the road and pick poor people and take their cars from them.
Yeah, which sounds like that's exactly what they were doing in Wayne County.
Them speeding tickets, whatever. It says, going on with the Reason.com article, it says, settlement agreements like the ones in Wayne County are not unusual, however. Before Albuquerque ended its asset forfeiture program, it would force owners, even innocent owners, to pay $850 to recover their cars.
Wow.
In Albuquerque, resident Arlene Harjos case, the city offered to return her car for $4,000 after her son was arrested for drunk driving. So
wow.
He was driving
she
her car.
She wasn't even there.
Wow.
Hey, $4,000. I wonder how long they held on to it for prior to that.
The Institute for Justice's lawsuit will now head back to the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan for further proceedings on its Fourth Amendment claims. The Wayne County forfeiture machine takes in over 1,000 cars every year, Institute for Justice attorney Kirby Thomas West said. Now Detroit car owners can at least rest assured that they will have a speedy opportunity to challenge a seizure when they find themselves victims of this forfeiture machine.
That's all they get. I mean, it's not ending the procedure. It's not ending the seizing of these cars. It's not ending the nightmare that these people are going through, but it's going to shorten the length, potentially, of the nightmare. Now, it's only going to be 2 weeks until you get a hearing. And what that actually means, I don't know, right? Does that mean that you have the hearing and then the judge makes a decision and then you get your car back within a week? Or is it going to be that you have the hearing, but then it takes another 5 months to get the car back? Like, what is the reality that these people are going to actually have to deal with? Because in some cases, it's like, okay, well, the judge has ruled X. Well, now the police department's not doing what they're supposed to do. What do you do then? You got to go back in front of the judge and say, Judge, the police department, you said I'm supposed to get my car back. It's now been 4 weeks because, well, you know, it takes a few weeks to get a court hearing, right? It's now been 4 weeks. I still haven't gotten the car back. And you please order the police to give this car back.
And, of course, they all work on the same side. So.
Yeah. And then the judge is going to say, oh, you naughty police, I'm ordering you, and you have 2 more weeks to give. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, how long does this actually take? What's the realistic? How much is this actually going to help people? I'm not saying it's not good. It's good news. But it's just like... This is nothing more than like the nibbling around the edges of civil asset forfeiture. This has done absolutely nothing to stop people from getting their cars taken from them for ridiculous nonsense reasons.
And I don't know about you or most of the listeners, but most of my life, if my car was taken away from me for even 2 weeks, it would have been catastrophic.
Devastating.
Catastrophic. Like, especially when I was an Uber Eats driver.
Right, that was literally your livelihood. I mean, you can't do that on the city bus.
No. You could do it on a bike, but not in San Antonio easily.
Yeah.
Plus,
you're not going to get anywhere quickly on a bike, and so, you know, food's going to be cold and that sort of thing, so it'd be really tough.
Yeah, I have a bike. Yeah. If they took my car, I wouldn't have money to get a bike.
Yeah.
So I just really feel bad for people that this is happening to them, and I just think all police are bastards. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, I mean, that's
all
not... I get where you're coming from on that. I just don't know if I necessarily agree. I think some are worse than others, and I think that there are some police out there who they got into it for the right reasons. They
that doesn't
really
make them a good person.
Well, they thought that they were going to be stopping criminals.
Maybe
from
I got
doing...
into the mafia for a good reason, but after a few days of looking around and seeing that, like, oh, this guy just takes orders from the boss to, like, kill people, and this other guy just goes to businesses and tells them to pay up, and that's what they're asking me to do, you realize I got to get out of this or you're a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from on that, but I want to believe that there's some people who are deluded to the point where they think they can change the system from within. There are those people who think that, even though it seems to be a ridiculous viewpoint to have because
so
you're not
do
going
you
to.
Go on continuing to do very bad things to people while thinking you're going to change things from the inside and it make not make you a bad person, Ian.
Well, what if, I mean, we've had cops call the show over the years who have given examples of how they look the other way about certain things, right? So they pull somebody over. There's a joint in the ashtray. It's a state in which marijuana is illegal.
So they're a good person because they didn't harm them more than they were already harming them. They took their time, even if just
it.
Pulling them
it.
Over.
Yeah.
And then they took their money, most likely, by giving them tickets.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, you are coming in from a very, very principled perspective here, Bonnie. And
that means correct.
I definitely appreciate it. Obviously I don't support police pulling people over for, you know, victimless crimes, which is the vast majority of reasons police pull somebody over. Every now and then, you know, they do pull somebody over who's who potentially could create a victim, right? I mean,
yeah, but they, you know, these people are grown adults. They know that their job of pulling over somebody who's drunk driving, getting a drunk driver off the road, mm-hmm. could be done in a way that doesn't steal from people. Like, they're at the very, very least, even if everything they've ever done as a cop is good and they have no clue that anything else is bad is going on, they have accepted a job that requires other people to be stolen from for them to get their paycheck.
What if there was a cop that, like, pulled somebody over who was drunk and gave them a ride home?
That would be a good thing that a bad person did once.
And towed his car to his house instead of to a tow yard.
Would that make him a good person because he did one good thing?
Okay, but that's, you're saying that would be okay, right?
No, it would be not okay because during that time that he did all that stuff, he was getting paid from theft.
Well, yeah, there is that.
So, yeah, that's always happening, so at all times they're bad.
The idea, Bonnie, that you're going to convince every cop to quit their jobs because they're worried about where their paycheck came from is completely unrealistic.
It doesn't
right?
mean that it changes the reality of what we're discussing.
I get it. I get it.
I don't just talk about things in order to convince people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a liar.
I get what you're saying, but that's not to say that it isn't valuable to have people who have a more freedom-oriented mindset in these positions. I mean, here's an example. We have a regular caller to the show, David Hathaway, who's a sheriff in Santa Cruz County, Arizona, which is a border county. It's an elected position, but obviously that position is getting paid through tax dollars. He's done some really good pro-freedom things in there, like pushing back against the federal government and their immigration nonsense and their drug war. He shut down the drug war task force that the sheriffs had in their department.
You already know my opinion on people who get into things in order to get make the government smaller and smaller. Like, I'm not saying Matt Sanchez also is a bad person because he's a politician, because he got in there and he's doing every effort to actually get rid of the thing. I suspect that it's similar with David Hathaway, but do I think that he was being a good person when he was being a DEA agent, even if he, like, looked the other way at some drugs or anything like that?
I get what you're saying, but
I don't think my dad was being a good person the whole time he was being a medic. I don't think my little brother is the whole time he's being an Air Force guy. They can't just go work for public or for private companies saving people. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.